So I am really pleased to give you, our closest friends, the first glimpse of the next generation of Mac Pro. Can't innovate anymore, my ass.
Hello, and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah, and today we have a very special episode for multiple reasons. A, we're going to be talking about all the things Apple spewed upon us at WWDC. And giving our first impressions of all that good stuff. And also because I'm here with two very special fellows. Buster Heine is here. Hey, Buster.
Hey, man.
Alex is back from his peyote-fueled adventures in the desert. Welcome back, Alex E. Heath.
Hello.
Excelsior.
And, you know, guys, oh, my gosh, what a news day. We were just talking about this. What a news day. We have E3 happening, which is all the video game stuff, biggest video game convention in the world. And then, of course, our fantastic event, WWDC, where Apple spewed upon us,
crazy.
As I said. Oh, so much stuff. Can I just start with this? Let's just get this out of the way right now. AirPods about to lose control, and I think he likes it. I'm just gonna leave this for the next 30 seconds. Let's just keep this going. You guys still there?
Oh,
I'm just checking.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all I got. I can start it over again if you want. Is Alex still there?
I'm just lost in the trippiness of iOS 7.
Oh, isn't iOS 7
it's like a psychedelic drug.
Let's start there. That's the big deal of that show, obviously. Alex has it installed on his iPhone right now.
I lost my jailbreak for this.
Alex is not as thrilled as I would say, wouldn't you agree, most of the general tech audience at WWDC seem to be.
No, I would say it's pretty split, man.
Yeah, it's
really
pretty split. Yeah. Very split.
I think the iOS 7 redesign is very divisive for sure. Alex, why don't you start first since you have it installed? Do you like it? Don't you like it? What
well,
about
here's
it?
Here's the deal. I saw it and like everyone else, I was like, I didn't really know what to think, and I like looked at screenshots and I was like, okay, this could be good or this could be really bad. I don't know. I'm just gonna have to try it. And I just installed it, and this is probably the best way this has happened because I've just literally installed it like 5 minutes before this show. So I'm getting – this is first impressions live on the Cultcast. And this thing is like – it's like I don't know what kind of drugs they're taking in Cupertino.
It is very trippy.
It is like –
it looks like the cover of a Coldplay album.
No, it doesn't even look like – I mean, it's just so disjointed. Like it's so like – like they were talking about wanting to like make everything more uniform and like bring elements together, and it is so all over the place.
Really?
Like I don't understand like the font choices and like some of the colors, and like it's like neon with like really thin like Helvetica New black text against like white. It's like impossible to read.
Or in other apps they'll be like it'll be a yellow font and then it'll be a red font in a different app. So there is some like continuity that doesn't happen there.
It's bizarre. There are like some subtle things I like the way that the device, like the animation that happens when the device locks and unlocks now mm-hmm. is pretty nice. Mm-hmm. And like when you like leave an app, the animation's kind of nice. But for the most part, like I don't know what to think of this.
Let us also keep in mind this is a beta. It's not going to be released till the fall for the general public.
But this is the design. I mean, this is what they're going with.
I wonder how much of that kind of stuff they're going to tweak. Buster, what were you going to say?
Well, here's the thing is I think, you know, the icons and some of the animations are a little bit trippy and need work. Mm-hmm. Definitely, like, some of the UI on the icons feel a little bit tacky. But the layered aspect of the UI is pretty interesting, I think, because you're zooming in and out all over the UI instead of, like, being taken to, like, completely different screens. They kind of try to make it all feel like one continuous piece, you know, like it's pretty interesting, but...
Do you have it installed as well, Buster?
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
I've had
do?
It
okay.
way longer than Alex. He's way behind.
For minutes longer.
No, I've had it for hours longer than Alex.
Alex, so you literally just installed it and you're looking at it.
Literally right before the show.
So design-wise, I don't have it installed, but design-wise, I'm kind of leaning towards the little leery. I mean, people were asking for this. People were saying iOS is getting boring. It's getting old. We've been hearing this for a long time. And Apple came out and gave us something brand new, and they've obviously been working on it long and hard. The design, I think, is going to be divisive. Everything looks different. All the icons are different. I am not sure if I'm a fan of the font choice. It reminds mm-hmm. me of Windows Phone, and that's not a good thing. But... I mean, it's going to be one of those subjective things. Alex is having his real-time expressions as he goes through iOS 7.
I'm just like, it's like borderline frustrated and then like borderline amazed. Huh. Like amazed that Apple shipped this.
Okay,
let's... They haven't shipped it, but like amazed that they gave this to people saying that this is a semi-finished product. Like it looks like a prototype.
Yeah, definitely it does not feel finished. It's kind of like... Apple felt the pressure from everybody saying they need to innovate and mm-hmm. do something different with iOS. And they're mm-hmm. like, oh, well, we got this cooking, so we're going to let you guys, you know, have it, you know, a whole year before it seems really ready, you know?
Huh.
Like Leander even wrote a piece today about how he found a lot of the iOS icons in like some of Johnny Ive's early prototypes back from like 2005.
I saw that, yeah.
So these are, you know, I mean, it's like Johnny Ive, when he started thinking about the iPhone, he had these icons in mind, and all he's probably hasn't revisited like his ideas for UI in years since, you know, he had that idea. So I think there's a lot of like polishing to do with the new way he's doing the UI on it.
Well, you'll obviously have to look at some galleries of iOS 7, and if you're a developer, you luckily get to install it and play around with it. I'm really looking forward to installing it and kind of seeing, you know, for myself. It is a beta. They probably are going to fix a bunch of stuff. You got to remember, this is V1. I mean, this isn't like the previous versions of iOS where they've had a lot of years to refine it. There's a lot of things in here that are brand new.
Why is this calendar icon shortcut here? This makes no sense. You know,
it could also be that Alex
like
gets confused.
I pull up Control Center and there's like, okay, they put some apps that they think you're going to want to be able to quickly access like under the system toggles in Control Center.
Okay, let's talk about Control Center because that's one of the new features. And let's talk about some of the new features besides just design. So Control Center, you swipe to reveal kind of like a shortcut panel, right? It's you can control your music with it. It shows you what you're playing. You can control the brightness.
It's quick toggles. Like if you're familiar with jailbreaking, it's like SB settings or some mm-hmm. apps like that.
There's buttons to turn off Bluetooth.
Yeah. Your brightness. Yeah. Your music. You can turn your phone into a flashlight, access the calculator.
Control rotation and stuff. And Alex, are you saying there's a shortcut in there that you don't understand?
No, there was like, I didn't understand why those were there. I thought those were running apps, but it's like they put like the flashlight, the watch, the calculator, and the camera as like quick shortcuts that you can, and I'm assuming those can be customized.
Nope.
They can't?
No, it's just apps like the camera is on the lock screen too, like quick access to it. Like quick access to like your most commonly used.
We're witnessing Alex's final moments as an Apple writer and user. He's going to be writing for Cult of Android
Dude,
as of next week.
Like
No, he's having like a meltdown.
I'm not like, this is the kind of thing, like if somebody posted this as like a leak,
yeah.
I mean, to be fair, like 9to5 Mac did kind of have something that looked like this, but mm-hmm. like I'm saying like a dead up like screenshot, like this, right. like people said, this is iOS 7 screenshot and it and people posted it. And then people would not believe that Apple made this. They would like, there well, would be no,
I mean, it's very unorthodox Apple. I mean, it really is. Oh, and I think that's what they were going for. You know, they really mm-hmm. wanted to do something different.
Yeah, but I don't think it's unorthodox in a good way. I think it's
it
like too
feels
much.
A little bit too playful almost, you know, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know how to describe it. It's definitely
so Buster,
off,
it kind of sounds
so
like
much.
You're not really a fan either.
No, I like it. Yeah. I actually like the new aspects, a lot of the new aspects of it. But yeah, it definitely does not feel finished at all, which of course we are using a beta and this isn't going to come out for another 3 months or so. So there's going to yep. be improvements, but not huge improvements.
Yeah,
you know?
Not huge
this
enough.
This is like, you know, basically
yeah,
what it's going to be.
That's the foundation and, of what you're
you
going to be using.
They're going to be cleaning up the bugs pretty much for the next
exactly.
And it is so painstakingly obvious what apps are iOS 7 and what aren't. Like, this is going to require developers to like adopt a completely new like design language.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's it, true. That's
everything
true.
Is totally flat. Like, you have to be flat to fit in.
Right.
And
just, yeah. Like if you open up like Instagram and everything, the app just feels so off, you know.
Oh yeah,
right?
The icon feels,
you know,
yeah, the icon feels like, super outdated.
Does it feel like if you took like Windows Phone and like placed a bunch of iOS app or icons, just interspersed them in there?
Maybe
like,
that's the closest analogy. I don't know. But like even like the Fantastica icon, which is pretty minimal, but it has that little page curl at the end. Mm-hmm. Like that even feels like painfully out of place. Like the Tweetbot icon feels painfully out of place.
All these really beautifully crafted
yeah,
icons.
It's like,
yeah.
I feel like, honestly, I feel like this is a death of like character in apps. Like,
you know,
making everything become flat, it just loses character.
That's always been one of my biggest problems with Windows Phone, actually. Like, I just felt like it was too simple.
And this is not as bad as Windows Phone, I don't think at all. But it's not anywhere near as utilitarian as that. But, like, still, there is a severe, like, there's no depth anymore, like, that you're supposed to have. And, like, I just don't know if that's a good idea. I feel like, I don't know.
Buster, what were you going to say?
Oh, have you checked out the new dynamic lock screens yet, Alex?
Oh, the ones that rotate, like the wallpaper?
Yeah, and they're, no, the wallpaper rotates, but there's like, if you go under settings, there's now dynamic wallpapers from Apple. They're like little orbs. Like if you set it to your lock screen. And
oh,
they
like
kind
Android?
Of like, yeah, exactly like Android. There's one that looks almost exactly like Androids on here too. It's kind of embarrassing, I think.
Let's talk about differently though. Let's go through some more features rather than just the actual like design aesthetic, if you will, and like the visual UI. So one of the things I actually thought was really cool, Alex, I don't know if you've played with it, is the new multitasking feature that pretty much looks like the cards, like the web OS from Palm, like their cards for multitasking and how you can just kind of like flip through the different apps.
Yeah,
screens.
That's pretty well done. I'm doing it right now. It's pretty.
Oh
well
yeah.
Done. It feels pretty snappy, like just missing something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like quick, especially for a first beta.
The new scrolling is actually kind of cool. Like when you go in, like with the multitasking, you have the app icons kind of move at a little bit of a different speed than the big cards. And then also with iMessage, like if you scroll really fast in something, the text kind of like scrunches together for a minute and then collapses. So there's some new little animations like that with scrolling that they got going on.
Hey, we got a new camera with a totally redesigned button and some new filters. I could have done without the filters, in all honesty, but I feel like everyone's adding filters to their camera these days. But I guess for people that don't want to install camera apps, that would
I feel
be
like
useful.
That's a given, honestly. Yeah.
Who was owing me?
I thought I was playing with the new iOS camera app, and it was actually Vasco Cam instead.
Oh yeah, that's a great app.
Vasco Cam looks really like it. Like they knew what was coming.
Exactly, it looks like just perfect for the iOS 7. I thought Apple would have added like an aperture point or exposure point in the new camera, and they didn't. That's a bummer.
Hey, what about the new? This was crazy, Alex. You got to tell me what this is like. So. basically now when you rotate your iPhone around, your icons rotate around as well, so you can actually see what's underneath them.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to call this feature.
I think they called parallax. Yeah.
Something parallax, LSD. Wait, so parallax. That's what they should have called it.
Explain this to me, Buster. So if I rotate it, it like follows me?
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like, you know.
It's not doing how, it.
Maybe they have it turned off in beta.
You know, for me, it works better if you go like up and down. You can kind of see it a little bit better. Maybe it depends on also your, it doesn't depend on your background.
Maybe I need a wallpaper with more depth because mine's like,
yeah, I have like a big like nature background on mine.
I don't know. I mean, when they were doing the demos at WWDC, it looked pretty obvious.
No, it's very obvious when you hand it. You're like, it's actually a little bit trippy at first because you're like, it looks a little bit 3D.
Yeah,
you know?
You're just like, whoa.
I'm not getting that.
Maybe it's turned off.
Oh, that dynamic wallpaper is really nice.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, it does move. That's so weird.
It's kind of hard to describe, right? So if you have like a picture of people or a person as your background, when you rotate your iPhone around, the perspective of your icons changes as you move it around. You know, like how like the sheen or the shine on the music app buttons would change when you rotated them around, like they were reflecting light at you. It's very similar to that, except you can see underneath the actual app icons, like their like corners are moving up and down.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the new the new folder view. I think it's really clean and
oh
nice.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
That was one of my favorite features. I don't know why it took them so long to do that. So, Alex, if you would tell us a little bit about what you mean.
Well, like it's instead of the black linen, of course there's no linen in this at all anymore. You just tap a folder and it's this really kind of nice transparent cell that is like behind the apps, and it looks really clean.
Oh, but adding to that, you can keep, you know, hundreds of apps in one folder now.
Yeah, well,
and you can scroll through them. So like I made this suggestion probably 8 months ago, and I think Craig Federighi might have listened to the episode. he was like that Airfon, he's onto something. Because that's exactly what I wanted. I mean, just have one folder, all the apps live in it, and then you can just scroll through that one folder because I don't need four games folders. I only need one.
Well, yeah, exactly. I hate
it. Well, I mean, that's something that I've had forever with jailbreaking, so it's not amazing to me, but I guess that is a new thing.
Sorry.
Yo, sorry, dude. Gosh, are you gonna jailbreak this, Alex? Go back to Alex is gonna jailbreak and go back to iOS 6 on iOS 7.
honestly, I might. I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
Give it some time. You gotta think. It's like it's just so different. It might take some time to get used to it.
I do. That's what I'm kind of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of just kind of like really weird choices in iOS.
Very weird, yeah.
Like there's some stuff that's like great, you know, and it's just like, oh, this is awesome. But then there's just like really weird design choices throughout the whole thing. A lot of them like what we've already talked on.
I do like the new Spotlight where instead of swiping over to the left to invoke Spotlight, you just swipe down on the screen where you are.
Yeah, it took me for a minute to figure that out. I thought they got rid of it. I was pissed. Yeah.
And then Spotlight appears. That's pretty neat.
Hey, we're also getting FaceTime audio calls, which is very cool. This is a feature that I would actually use.
Yeah, I tried to use that with Alex today.
Yeah.
It's not backwards compatible.
I think you have to be iOS 7 to iOS 7. But that is really neat. And, you know, it's something I could have even used on this vacation I just took because I was in areas where I didn't have cell service, but I had Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And,
so I think it'll come in handy for a lot of people.
Oh, it'll be awesome. Like international travel, you'll never have to worry about getting a SIM card. You can just go by like a cafe for a few minutes, you know? Like
while we're on, great. Exactly. While we're on carrier related stuff, I don't know. I don't like these new carrier indicator cells that they have in the status bar.
Yeah, that was a questionable design move. So
it takes more space, and I want to conserve space up there.
Yeah. So Alex, what Alex is saying is, you know, like AT&T is going to have to change their advertising when they say more bars in more places, because there are no more bars. Now there's circles, more circles in more places. Yeah. There's just five circles, and each circle, I guess, indicates a level of signal.
maybe they could have done like a cut, like just one circle and like a color and something like that. It changes to indicate signal
strength. You need to go work on the Apple.
I know. I'm available, Johnny. I could be hired.
Well,
away.
Technically you're employed, but
technically.
Hey, but if you get hired, can you still come on the show, please?
Oh yeah, I'll be giving you scoops all day, man.
It'll be like Buster hanging out with Johnny Ive, and all of a sudden Johnny starts growing a beard. They're like hanging out together all the time.
Also, something I've noticed, I don't know if you've noticed this, Buster, is the Do Not Disturb doesn't work. It must be a beta glitch, but it doesn't work. Mm. And something that's really neat is that when you invoke the new really weirdly spaced notification center, and the first thing is your calendar, it's got this neat kind of like thing where it says, your calendar looks clear in the morning. There are two events scheduled, and the first one starts at 2. So it gives you this kind of rundown of what's going on tomorrow with, you know, natural language. And it's nice.
Hey,
so you
also
like the new notification center.
I don't like the spacing. I think that's a cool feature, but I think it's really weirdly
spaced.
It's
so big, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't want to, like, I feel like notification center, shouldn't it be like glanceable information? You shouldn't have to scroll through it, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I'm a little bit disappointed with that part.
Let's talk about the new theft deterrent system being built into iOS 7. This looks really cool. So before, if your iPhone got stolen, that rotten thief could wipe it and restore it. And then, you know, because all the protections were basically software-based, they would be gone. So they could sell your phone. The phone could still be activated. Now, I think there's a lot of details that are still kind of outstanding at this point. But it seems like Apple's building in theft deterrent into the firmware itself, like a very low level of the operating system. So even if you if you wipe the phone, you can no longer activate it if it's been reported stolen.
Well, they've gotten a lot of heat from, you know, senators and I think, what was it, New York's attorney state general asking them like why they haven't built like a kill switch like that into the iPhone. So looks like that was their answer to them.
So basically now if your phone gets stolen, I mean, it basically breaks it.
Right, exactly.
Which is what it should do. They should have made it so that it self-destructs and sprays shrapnel everywhere.
That's what they should have done in 10 seconds.
No, there's no time. There's no countdown. It's like it's been reported stolen. And the thief's like, oh yeah, I got myself a new iPhone. Boom. Swipe to explode. Glass, Gorilla Glass in your face, fool. I'm gonna send that one into Craig too. Let's see what else we got.
Wasn't Craig awesome at the
he really was, man. He fantastic.
He was like my favorite keynote speaker in a long time,
well,
man.
He's the only one that got to speak today.
That's true. He spoke a ton of the time.
He was hilarious, though. He had some of the best
lines. Great. He was great. He felt very natural, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was having a grand old time.
The thing he said was when he showed the new calendars app in OS 10, and he was like, absolutely no cows were harmed in the making of this visual interface.
I also liked, he's like, it doesn't have stitching. It's not going to fall off the screen without it. You know?
And then he showed Game Center. He's like, we're all out of felt.
Yeah.
We ran out of wood too. That's good for the environment. He was hitting on Scott Forstall and right.
I wonder if they feuded a lot or something.
Maybe they did. I mean, he was just unabashed about that.
He feuded with everyone, apparently. But like, he was like, when they showed iBooks, he was like, see, no wood. We're saving the environment.
It just seemed like everybody at Apple was giving a big finger to Scott Forstall today.
He's like, see, it doesn't look like butt. Like Scott Forstall's face.
Except it does kind of look like butt. So
I think, you know, it probably would have been good to have, you know, somebody like John Brownlee told us in the chat room. You know, he's like, it would be good if Johnny Ive had somebody to kind of keep him in check, because some of the things in iOS 7 are just like, you can just definitely tell Johnny Ive just kind of got a little bit too out there with what he was doing.
Yeah, you know, it's like if there's a chef who's been cooking for a long time and they're just so, their taste is so refined, they like things that just no one else would want to eat.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I feel like that there's a danger of that with Johnny Ive. Like, he is obviously a master, but his level of skill and taste is so beyond ours that he might be kind of into things that maybe aren't going to be popular for a while.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen the new Game Center icon? Like, that thing is just
horrendous.
So embarrassing.
It's horrendous. Yeah.
It's based on the color icon.
Is it? I thought the new iPhoto, I thought the photos icon was based on the
So the icon, for those who haven't seen it, is just a bunch of like colored blobs. It looks like something LG would create.
Yeah, it, somebody said it was like something Motorola. Exactly like Sony would create.
Yeah, or it does. Exactly. Like it'd be like a make.believe icon. That's exactly true.
You know what looks the best? The best icons from like a single company on iOS 7 that I've seen so far?
What?
Google.
Oh, really?
Like Google's Hangouts app looks like better than pretty much every Apple default app on here. Like it fits perfectly and it like looks better.
It has just a little bit of a shadow right
there. Yeah, but it's still flat. Like
exactly.
It's, and Google's design is like, it looks like Apple is almost like piggybacking off of their iOS design.
Oh no, I definitely think iOS 7 borrows a lot from Android, you know, as far as like the flatness of it and some of the UI elements.
Yeah.
At least that's what some friends of mine was their first reaction, you know, just as regular people, like, oh, it looks a little bit more like Android now.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is that a good move for Apple to make?
Like, even, I don't know, but like, even like Snapseed, which Google like doesn't like update anymore, and that icon is like super old, that icon still looks really good in iOS 7.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird.
Hey, let's keep this train rolling here, fellows. I do want to mention really, really quick, if you are interested in all the things that Apple announced today at WWDC, you should check out this fantastic list our own Bluester Heine put together on Cult of Mac. And it is exactly what it sounds like. It is a list, comprehensive, of everything that was announced today. It was a fast-paced event. There was just things coming at us left and right. And actually, kind of an aside, I was watching both the Xbox keynote and the Apple keynote on two different screens. And the funny part is I realized about 30 minutes in, I was watching the Xbox keynote on my Mac, but I was watching the Mac keynote on a PC.
Nice.
Don't hate me. We just lost half our listeners when I said I was using a PC. Hey, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Let's talk about this one was cool. iOS in the car, they announced integration with more than 12 car manufacturers by 2014. You're gonna be able to get directions, play music, have your iMessages dictated to you eyes free. We'll see how that works. But the part that I was really excited about is the Maps integration, because Apple's Maps, regardless of what you think about their data, it's hard to argue they don't look fantastic. They're some of the best GPS maps in the business, I think. And I spelled that
B-I-Z. Wait, what are you saying? Did you just say that Apple's Maps doesn't look good? But
no,
it's
No. The exact opposite. I said, even though their data might not be perfect, their maps look fantastic.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, I thought you said the opposite.
Maybe I did. So thank you for correcting
me. But no, I agree with you, too.
So having Apple Maps brought to the car, I think, is a very good thing. What?
Just it looks like there's some changes in Apple Maps a little bit.
Ooh. Well, the icon no longer directs you off a cliff.
Well, it looks like the UI, like for the artwork, they kind of like have the roads a little bit more defined with like borders and things.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah, it does look nice.
Yeah.
Hey, about iTunes Radio? Our long-rumored iRadio is here.
I have a complaint about it.
You have a complaint about it? It just got released.
Yeah, I know. There's no curse words in iTunes Radio, man.
What do you mean?
There's no curse words in iTunes Radio.
Okay, am I supposed to play
Check your parental settings.
That's what I was thinking, but I didn't see it, man. And I was getting really mad. I put on some like Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
And he was like, don't hold my vibe.
Like, he was like,
don't my vibe.
Yep, exactly. That is exactly what he did.
So let's talk about what iTunes Radio actually is. I incorrectly assumed earlier today that it was going to be a competitor of Spotify and RDO. It is not. It's actually going to be a competitor.
You haven't been paying attention, Irfan.
No, I don't pay attention. Who said that?
Because the rumors have said that it's going to be with competing against Pandora.
Well, the rumors were right. And yes, they were. It's basically a service that lets you pick an artist, pick a song, pick an album, and then it creates a playlist. This makes perfect sense, of course, right? Because they want you to use it as a music discovery tool. And then if you like what you hear, they're trying to push you into buying songs off iTunes. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see how much apparently drive sales for them.
Yeah. Well, apparently they've got some exclusive deals. Like they're going to be streaming stuff before it comes out.
Really?
You know, like what basically what iTunes does already for like mm-hmm. big albums where you can mm-hmm. stream them a couple weeks, like what they did for Daft Punk. Mm-hmm. So like it's going to be like, you know, you have like a week to listen to it on iRadio before it comes out anywhere else.
And they were streaming Led Zeppelin, which is the first time that's been available on a streaming yeah. service. As mm-hmm. a Zeppelin fan, that's pretty cool, even though I already own all that music. it's also going to be free. It's going to be supported by iAds, but for iTunes Match subscribers, you get to listen absolutely free. You don't have to pay for anything, and you don't have to listen to any ads. So that will be a cool feature. And you know, it'll be interesting. I love Pandora. I've mentioned that on the show before. I'm a Pandora One subscriber. I wonder if this service will actually make people not want to pay for Pandora, or if it will just be one of those
Me Too services.
Well, you know, Apple will release stuff and then people always say, oh my gosh, this is going to kill such and such a service or such and such an app. Like yeah. the Reminders app. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, there goes things. But the Reminders app, in my opinion,
is I use both.
Terrible.
I don't use the Reminders app, but it does not Sherlock things at all.
Why is everybody calling it Sherlock now? What's up with that? I'm just too behind.
Buster, you're
window,
an Apple
man.
Blogger. You don't know this?
I don't get it.
I don't understand.
I don't know what you're talking about either.
Why
stop being so esoteric.
What is it?
don't.
Alex, tell me. Yeah, tell me. Explain it. We're too old, man. We're not cool like you.
Yeah, I'm only 24. Just explain this stuff to me.
It basically is just like it basically refers to you develop a product and you ship it, and then Apple comes along and provides the exact same like functionality in their software.
Why is
yeah,
that
at a very basic level?
Though?
Because it was this old software company called like Corella, I think, back in I want to say the 90s,
uh-huh.
and they had this. I'm going to sound like an idiot. I need to make sure I'm saying the right thing.
Yeah.
But there was basically this piece of software that came out and it was really popular, and then Apple ended up basically just copying it and putting it directly into OS X. And then that company, you know, obviously had to collapse because it couldn't do anything. So, and Apple does this a lot. So it's a saying that just has lived on, I guess.
They were doing a whole lot of that today. One of the other features they released, this is long overdue, this is for iOS 7 as well, is keychain in the iCloud.
Oh, iCloud keychain.
Yeah, iCloud keychain. And
kills one password.
Dude, I say it however I like.
I like it. I like it. They should
keychain in the iCloud. That's what they should have called it.
Yeah.
But this does kind of probably what you think it does, is it allows all your passwords to live in iCloud and sync across devices. So if you enter in your credit card information, your address, your passwords in one device, that information is available to you on your other devices. So this is really great. This is something that 1Password does very well.
Right.
But 1Password, the syncing mechanism, I don't think is all that fantastic. Although, let me stop and ask, is 1Password, Alex, do you use it? You're 1Password
yeah.
user, right? Does that sync in the cloud, or is it?
Yeah, it does. Okay. They're coming out with a Mac version that supports the iCloud syncing that's on iOS, but it doesn't kill 1Password, because 1Password is much more than just web forms. It's like you can store everything. You can store your social security number, your memberships, your health.
Everything's encrypted, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to still use 1Password and this.
You know, I might too. It depends on how well this will actually work. Because I always hate on my iPhone when I'm entering in passwords and stuff, how none of that information lives on my iPhone. And I have to remember everything and type everything in manually, especially when you're trying to buy something. It's just not a good experience. Let me see here. Okay, so let's move on. That's iOS 7. And of course, everyone, we're going to be talking about this stuff a lot more in the coming weeks as a lot of the stuff is fleshed out. We mm-hmm. just kind of want to give you a overall sense of the things that were talked about today. Let's talk about OS X. So no longer do we have cats. Now everything is going to be named after ocean animals. OS sea lion. that sea lion looked really cute.
No, I thought it was funny that they addressed that rumor. You know,
yeah, that was funny.
That was funny. So Craig, good old Craig. Federighi showed a sea lion as an app icon, or as I'm sorry, as the new OS X icon. Everyone had a good chuckle. Craig, then he shuffled his hair around and he looked really dreamy. And then he announced that actually it's going to be named after cities in California. Is that what they're doing now?
Well, like, I guess locations in California.
No, it's locations that provide them inspiration.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's California locations. Okay. You know?
So the next OS is going to be California Dreamin'. This
which I feel like
called OS X Mavericks.
OS X yeah. Soho.
Which had me thinking of Goose from Top Gun.
Had me thinking of John McCain.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is it's funny. Like, some people thought of Goose and, you know, Top Gun, whereas right. Like Alex was like, oh, it's John McCain and Sarah Palin, Maverick, you know.
Uh-huh. I'm sure that she really is inspirational to the Apple design
team. She is, man.
So let's just do some higher level features. They didn't spend a lot of time talking about Mavericks. Well, it seemed like they concentrated more on iOS 7. Who knows actually how much time it was. So
they spent a good deal of time on it. I thought it was actually pretty exciting.
Yeah, I do too. I thought it looked really great. So let's talk about some of the features. Finder is getting tabs.
Oh, I've needed that for like forever. I get so tired of like, oh, I open like a new Finder window all the time.
Me too. You know? Me too. Like, yeah.
And I'm just such a pain in the butt.
Yep. And it was really slick when if Craig was doing the demo and they had all the different windows open and he just hit like this one menu item and all of a sudden all the windows get drawn into one unified window in their different tabs.
Dude,
that's the little stuff that Apple pays attention to that a lot of companies miss.
The full screen apps, like the multiple monitor enhancements in Mavericks is like the thing I'm most excited
about. Okay, so why don't you tell us about that, Alex?
Well, basically, we actually posted this a while back because like a reader sent us in an email because Craig had emailed from Apple, had emailed this reader who had asked about the fact that, you know, why is it that when you go into a full screen app, your second monitor becomes like linen and you can't use it?
Mm-hmm.
And he responded and said, well, you know, we can't talk about anything, but we have something exciting coming, you know, for people that have this problem. So basically, we're going to fix it. And it ended up that they did, so that now when you enter full screen mode on a separate monitor, your other monitor is not rendered useless. You can use both normally, and you can switch between spaces in different environments. And
independently on both.
Independently, yeah.
Yeah.
And you can even turn your Apple TV into a secondary display.
That was really cool. Fully functional monitor.
Fully functional monitor with support for your menu bar and your dock and everything.
I thought it was cool that they made it so that you can access your dock from both different monitors now, and if you click on the dock in one monitor in an app, it opens a window just on that monitor, and if you go to your other monitor and click on the dock, you can open up a window just in that monitor. So it's kind of like a smart dock now.
Yeah.
Not that it wasn't smart before. Safari got some speed bumps, blah, blah, blah. Nothing really. The improved CPU energy use or energy efficiency. That was
It got the new sidebar feature that looks really cool.
That actually did look cool. So it got a really radical design overhaul, I think.
Yeah. Well, and you can like share links. Like, there's a new shared links view that like shows what people are sharing on Twitter, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think I caught that one.
They got, you know, like bookmarks and stuff like that. Kind of like it to replace some of what Google Reader was doing.
Hmm. Okay. Anything else you guys want to mention about Safari before we move on? Yeah. I love Safari, but for whatever reason, I use Chrome a lot. I think that it's that Safari doesn't support... I'm going to say this incorrectly, but it doesn't support favicons as well as Chrome does. So in the bookmarks bar, for instance, there's no color favicons, and for whatever reason that really bugs me. And does Safari put favicons in the different tabs? Does it do that?
Yeah, but I mean, dude, nobody cares about favicons.
Yeah, dude, only the coolest of the cool care about favicons. So I use Chrome for that. Okay, let's move on to notifications. I didn't really see anything that seemed all that inspiring besides that the fact now when notifications pop up, you can actually reply to them right there when they pop up. Pretty cool.
Yep. Yeah. But you can't do that on iOS, which is so dumb.
I can't believe that.
It's so dumb. They better add that in a beta because like it's why is that on the Mac and it's not on this? I could do that with like buy an SMS on my jailbreaking phone and it was awesome.
Uh-huh.
I don't.
Yeah, but nobody jailbreaks.
Shut your mouth. Shut your whore mouth.
Alex is right. You should shut your whorish mouth.
Yeah, well, I was also right about how the fact that nobody jailbreaks. Nobody does. You and Waz. By the way, did you guys see Waz when he was in the audience? I don't think he smiled once. Every time they cut to him, he just looked like he was bored. I wonder if he was having a good time.
Did you see the GIF I posted of him on the Segway trying to get up the stairs?
Yes. Does he have an off-roading Segway? Please tell me he does.
No, he rode a Segway into WWDC with like a helmet.
Well, at least he was wearing a helmet.
Dude, yeah,
awesome. The guy who ran that company die on one?
Yeah,
you got to wear a helmet on those things, man.
Yeah. Waz knows his safety requirements.
Safety first. Let's talk about maps for OS X. That's right. I said maps. We're getting a new independent maps app. What?
No, I think maps, you know, for the desktop actually looks cool because all the time when you're going to go like to somebody's house, like you've never seen it, don't you usually go on Google Maps and check
it
out?
Yes.
And then I can send it to my iPhone now. That's perfect. Yeah.
So that was awesome. The big feature. So now you can send it from this maps app, which looks beautiful, by the way. You can send your directions straight to your phone and then it pops up a notification. And when you get in your car, you just slide to unlock, maps open, takes you where you want to go. Well, hopefully. Hopefully it takes you where you're trying to go. That is an incredibly useful feature. That's been a big sticking point for a long time. You know, like I do exactly what you just said, Buster. Get on, you know, Google Maps and use it and then find the location. But then when you get to your phone, you have to redo all that. So anything else you guys want to talk about maps for OS X? So it didn't really seem huge besides the fact that it now exists and you can do that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's the only purpose for it existing is for that habit of people.
Yeah, because
like,
what else are you going to do with it, right?
Because other than that, it's like, oh, yeah, I can explore cities with Google Maps, with Apple Maps. But on a desktop, you're usually using Google Maps because you're searching for different stuff too, you know?
True that. We're getting iBooks for Mac. Do we need to say anything else?
Okay, I actually
I'm
was.
I'm excited about that.
Dude, I was stoked for iBooks for Mac because I buy Amazon ebooks still, Kindle ebooks, mm-hmm. because they have a desktop e-reader and Apple doesn't. Uh-oh. So if I'm like at work or something and I want to read them on my desktop rather than like have a book at my desk too, mm-hmm. I could just have it on a separate window. And iBook Store didn't have that option until now.
And Alex, you said you like this too.
I do like it, yeah. I think they got some cool like note-taking stuff for students.
That
and
was
stuff.
Pretty cool, yeah. So if you take notes in your books, you can turn those into flashcards.
Yeah,
they did that during the demo. That seemed pretty handy. Okay, the other big thing. This was a little kind of a question mark for me. I work in the cloud, so did they say this cost money or is
no.
it free?
Mm.
It doesn't. It just comes with an iCloud account.
Yeah,
Okay.
It's kind of like they're trying to take on what Office? What is Google's equivalent? Google Office or
Google Docs?
Google Docs
and Microsoft
and Google
Office 365.
So you know, it looks like they're kind of trying to offer those type of features as well. But I don't think it's really that exciting. The guy that was previewing it was just the most boring presenter I've ever seen at an Apple keynote. Like,
he's so bad.
So bad. Like
that
worst,
guy. That
like,
poor guy, though. I mean, it's hard to get people excited about.
It was his first time, though, probably.
Oh yeah. I mean, just like somebody was talking about, like Craig. Like when he used to present, he used to be like very nervous and
sweaty,
stiff and stuff. Yeah. And now he's just like totally loose the whole time he was presenting. It was so it takes a few times. I think Tim Cook actually did better presenting this time too.
Yeah, I did too. Although he was just kind of the MC, he didn't really talk about all that much.
Yeah, I love Phil Schiller. He gets so jazzed.
Let's talk. Oh. Wait, hold on. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. So iWork in the cloud is basically iWork has just been moved to the cloud, and it looks like it performs very similarly to the regular iWork. It seems to me that iWork for the desktop is no longer going to be made. So I guess this is a good thing. I mean, if it's free with an iCloud account. Or is that a free iCloud account or the paid iCloud account?
They didn't really say.
Because it's not coming till later this year anyway. So, yeah, they didn't have a ton of details on it.
Because I can't imagine that they're going to just give away iCloud or iWork now. They were charging
$100
bucks
for
it.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure it was just to appease the people that, you know, are really big iWork fanatics. Like, there's always, like, a few people that'll be like, before every keynote, do you think Apple's going to update iWork?
And yeah. Right.
It's like, who cares? Like, you know.
I remember I had somebody ask me if they were going to update, if they were ever going to update iWeb. And I was like, no. That is a definitive no. You will never see an update of iWeb. Before we move out of software and onto the good stuff, the hardware, we should probably mention, so iOS 7 released in beta now, available in fall for everyone, and it works on iPhone 4S or later, iPad 2 or later, and I'm not sure actually the compatibility on the iPods. Did you guys catch that?
It's just the fifth gen. It was a little bit confusing, yeah.
Okay.
Just the fifth gen.
I saw Buster. I think you posted that pic from Apple's website of like the different models it was good on.
Yeah,
it was like,
and it just said iPod. That's why
iPod,
confused.
And it was like MCA201. And I'm like,
it's only
oh.
the fifth gen.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Alex Excelsior. Okay, so hardware time. I think this was both amazing and kind of a little disappointing. Let's start with, we got brand new MacBook Airs. No, they don't have Retina screens, unfortunately. But the big thing was they got the Haswell chips from Intel, which are incredibly efficient. So the battery life on these things now is just phenomenal. I think that's fair to say, don't you?
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
So 11-inch is going to get, it goes from 5 hours to 11 hours. And this is an actual real use scenario. It's not standby time. Mm-hmm. And then the 13-inch goes from 7 hours to 12 hours. Huge jump. For those that care about specifics, that comes with 2x GPU execution units.
Oh, Irfan, you just blew somebody's mind.
Yeah, put that in your electric hookah. That means 40% faster graphics, y'all. And 45% faster SSD storage. That's actually pretty good. Oh, this is a good one. 802.11 AC card installed. Booyah! Who wants some fast Wi-Fi? This guy, even though I'm not really thinking that I'm going to buy a MacBook Air. So we did not get a freaking MacBook Pro. You guys! You guys!
Guys, oh my gosh.
I really need a new MacBook Pro, and I don't really want to buy one that's 4 months old. Hashtag first world problem.
Oh, just chill your nuts. I'm sure there'll be one soon.
Yeah.
That's an expression everyone needs to say, start saying more often.
Yeah.
I guess it was a little bit surprising that they didn't even announce, you know.
At least give it the Haswell spec bump.
Exactly, yeah.
At least just do that. If all they did was that, I would be happy. And I would buy my MacBook Pro. But I'm not going to buy a MacBook Pro that's using previous generation Intel hardware. Because you know in the next couple months they're going to have to update it, don't you think? I mean,
yeah, I think they will update it probably by like September or so.
But good news for everyone that wants a new brand new MacBook Air. If you've been waiting for a MacBook Air, now is the time to buy.
Yeah, I think I'm actually going to get one.
Are you?
Well, yeah, I got
11.
Yeah, I'll probably get an 11, just be, mm-hmm. like just the cheapest model, just so I have something to type on. Because right now, all I got is an iMac.
Oh, yeah, okay. And it's good to have a notebook around.
Yeah.
Cool. Along with the new MacBook Airs, we got new AirPort Extreme base stations. And those have the new 802.11 AC Wi-Fi. So for those of you who aren't familiar with 802.11 AC, it's basically a lot faster. I mean, up to 3x faster. The throughput's a lot higher. The range is greatly extended. I've been waiting for Apple to create an 802.11 AirPort Express for quite a while. And they look really good now, too. So they were kind of like a taller design instead of a flat design. They, look, mm-hmm. they kind of look like a little white, almost like a shot glass, except it's taller and it's kind of squared off. It actually looks like an icon if an icon was 4 inches high.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it looks like. And they're going to be releasing the time capsules as well in that same format. And then, of course, the big boy. We got a new Mac Pro.
Yeah.
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 How about that video?
Well, the video what?
Their video unveiling of it. It was like,
it was weird. The opening part of it, it didn't make any sense to me.
It kind of looks like a thermos.
It Looks, I mean, yeah, like
I think it looks awesome,
can.
But it does look kind of look like a thermos. It's round, and they say the entire computer is built around a thermal core. So I would imagine it's very quiet, mm-hmm. and just crazy, insanely powerful. 2 times faster everything, graphics, CPU. They're using the fastest ECC memory available. They're putting SSD drives in this thing now, which my gosh is going to make it. Insanely faster than it used to be, but can you imagine how much this thing's going to cost?
Oh, I know. That's what it's how, like a terabyte SSD. You know, you're going to have a couple of them in a pro machine, right?
Yeah, and their strategy is everything external. So it's just basically like a really powerful tube of computer, and uh-huh. then it has six Thunderport as I call it, Thunderbolt 2. Connectors in the back. It has, I think, 3 USB 3s. So they basically just want you to daisy chain all everything. Your devices out of the back of this thing. And I thought it was pretty cool. These are the little things that they do that really make me go, oh, Apple's so awesome. So did you see when they churned around the computer? It senses that it's being churned, and the peripheral ports in the back light up with LEDs so you can see what's what.
Ah.
That was awesome. It looks like a gadget out of Tron when they spin it around, all of a sudden they start glowing so you can see what everything is.
Yeah, it's
really cool. Does that?
I'm just now looking at the preview page for it in Safari because I had been trying to look at it in Chrome and it wasn't working the whole time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is a fascinating, this machine, man. This is crazy.
It's very interesting. They said it's going to be released later this year. Who knows how much this thing's going to cost?
Dude, yeah, if you haven't checked out the demo page for the MacBook Pro, or for the Mac Pro, I would go to apple.com and look at it. It's
yeah, I would so also watch the entire keynote if you can. Apple's posted it on the homepage of their website.
It's on the Apple TV, too. It's just you can right. go to the, yeah. There's just an app icon. You click it, and you can play it.
And, of course, this actually did warm my heart a little bit. So designed by Apple in California, assembled in the USA, the good old USA. That's really awesome. Like I really love the fact that they're actually building this thing in the U.S.
Yeah, I think it'll be.
Apparently, Alex just doesn't care.
Alex doesn't care though.
Alex, are you?
I mean, they're gonna make like 6 of them. So,
how many of these are they gonna sell though?
Bet you they'll sell a lot. I mean, they're not gonna sell like MacBook Air a lot, but.
Right. I mean, like we said, like it's going to cost a lot, and who needs this much power other than pros?
Yeah,
of course, it's
pros.
A pro machine. So I don't think they're going to sell a ton of them, but man, it's such an interesting machine, I think.
It really is. Really beautiful. I don't know. You guys, anything else you could think of before we start wrapping her on up here?
No.
There was something I was
going to
say.
We could talk about Schiller being so fired up.
Oh my gosh, dude. That was pretty crazy. So Phil Schiller gets up on stage. He's giving the Mac Pro, and he's fired up. He actually looks a little like he's a little pissed.
Yeah.
And his hair's kind of longer now. It's a little disheveled.
I felt like he was doing a little bit of a bomb dog impersonation.
He kind of was.
He was very excited.
He was beating his chest a lot.
He was sweating profusely.
Sweating a lot. I was actually worried for his hydration levels. He had just the smallest amount of foam at the corners of his mouth.
Yeah.
And then he goes, Apple doesn't innovate anymore. My ass. And then he drops trow in the middle of the keynote, and he showed the entire audience his derriere.
There it is.
That was the part that was truly shocking.
Yeah.
And he started making his butt talk like Jim Carrey mm-hmm. in Ace Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just downright inappropriate.
Dude.
But it made a good point.
Yeah, it did.
You know, can we just back up for a moment and talk about higher level? Like the overarching kind of feeling of this keynote.
Mm-hmm.
Because Apple's been getting a ton of crap for a long time. They haven't released anything else in a long time. And I felt like this was a cathartic moment. Like they came out after all this criticism that they've been getting, and they basically show that they haven't just been sitting around twiddling their thumbs. Like they've been hard at work doing what Apple does, creating products and software. And they got to come out and say, you know, everyone has been crapping on us, our stock's been dropping. Here are all the amazing gadgets that we're working on. Mm-hmm. Would you guys agree with that sentiment?
I feel like they were trying to say that.
But you don't know if it necessarily connected?
I feel like, you know, Apple usually never had to address, like, you know, the competition ever, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and now they do for some reason. So I think they kind of seem a little bit more vulnerable by addressing,
yeah, definitely.
You know, Android and saying, oh, you guys don't think we can innovate anymore. I just feel like, you know, Apple used to just go out and do it instead mm-hmm. of talking about how they were doing it, you know. Same thing like the Craig's jokes about, you know, the stitching on, you know, iOS and the calendar app and stuff was funny, but I think they should be careful to not get excessive into that type of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. And not just be responding to the criticisms of others.
Yeah, I think, you know, they should just, you know, do what Apple does best and not really worry about what anybody else is saying, and they probably aren't.
Yeah, I wonder if they actually are. I don't really think that they need to answer anyone either. I think the media is been kind of hard with them recently. So in these media events, they end up getting asked a lot of questions that maybe otherwise they probably would never even think of. And mm-hmm. the media has a way of fanning this stuff up anyway. But, it's like a lot of these things are not even big deals.
But at the same time, there is a level of truth to the fact that Apple's not in the position it was when the iPhone first came out. I mean, the competition is a lot. It's so intense.
And it's there. You know, there used to not be any competition, and now there is. You know?
Yeah. And there's people that are getting bored, frankly. And, I mean, I don't know if iOS 7 will be the answer. I think there's a lot riding on its success. I don't know.
Well, worst case scenario is they go to Android phone for about 6 months and then realize how awful it is and then come back.
I mean, Android's not that bad, you know. I mean, that's the
there's a selling point. Come to Android; it's not that bad.
You'll like it, I swear.
All right, guys, we should probably wrap it up there, huh?
Yeah,
fantastic. Yeah. We'll of course be back with another full episode on Thursday. And maybe take a deeper look at some of this stuff. And plus, there's a lot of details that are still going to be coming out. And man, what a great day. PlayStation 4 news, Xbox One news, all this great news from Apple. It was a good day to be a technology fan. So with that, that's all the CultCast we have for you guys this week. Hey, if you want to tell us what you think about iOS 7 and how it looks, maybe you want to argue with Alex, you can do that on Twitter. He's just Alex E. Heath. Buster's BST3R. I'm at Airfon. And of course, you're definitely going to want to make sure you're following Cult of Mac on Twitter, because we're going to have so many amazing stories coming out, written mostly by Buster and Alex. They are going to be working overtime to make sure you guys get all the information that you want. And definitely go check out that piece by Buster, all the things Apple announced today, to kind of get a bigger picture. And let's call it good there. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. We'll see you this Thursday, but until then, we will see you guys. Take it, Alex.
Next time.
That was just the right amount of eccentric.
's gonna start this thing. I hope she does.
Yeah, well, I have never talked to her, but I bet you if I emailed her and asked.
Yeah.
I love that one of the Apple Design Award winners was Sherlocked in iOS 7.
What one?
Yahoo Weather.
Oh, Yahoo Weather won.
Until they made the icon look like a grown man's butt.
Everything in iOS 7 looks like a grown man's butt. There we go.
Yeah, gosh. Look, the guy comes back from vacation, all of a sudden he gets all sassy.